A to the K.
Hello, welcome to the A to the K Wrestling Show with your hosts, Carl and Anthony. And as is tradition, let's kick it over to Road Dogg for A to the K's little known fact of the week.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh yeah, thank you, Road Dogg. As you know, we're going to the movies this week as we talk about the exceptional film that is The Wrestler. But did you know, Anthony, friend of the show, Lanny Poffo, was originally slated for a role in the movie?
Really?
He really was. So the producer of the film, Evan Ginsberg, who is pretty close with Lanny, brought him in to kind of have a bit of a reading and you know, kind of try and find a role there. But Lanny was actually told he didn't look beat down enough. He looked too good and thus wouldn't be a fit for the tone of the film.
Knowing the tone of the film, that kind of makes sense. But that, I guess, such a, like, I don't even, how would you take that thing? You didn't get the role, but it's just, you just look too damn good.
Yeah. I mean, it's of all the reasons not to get a role, that's probably up there as one of the best. But to be fair to the guy, obviously, you know, when we were chatting to him, stuff like that, like, you wouldn't think, you know, he certainly doesn't look his age. He's definitely, you know, it does make sense. He's obviously, he's aged well. He looks good. Doesn't look beat down. Doesn't look like, you know, he's aged drastically, so.
Anyone who wants to, like, sort of know more about what I'm getting at here, obviously listens to the interview, plug. But he's been sort of so sensible about the business, though, hasn't he? And I think probably a lot of that has been, like, obviously he grew up in the business and he's seen it, like, time and time again. And he's, like, because he talked about, like, financially not being, like, wasteful and stuff like that as well, do you know what I mean? And I think he's got his head so screwed on that it just makes sense that he's looked after himself that way, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so madness, imagine that. You know, we could have even asked him about being in The Wrestler if he wasn't so goddamn beautiful. so yeah, there you have it. The genius himself was close to being in the movie The Wrestler. Instead, he had to settle for being on our show, where we all look great. So it was a great fit. And that was it. And that was A to the K's little known fact of the week. So we'll sing it back over to Road Dogg to kick us out with the Oh, You Didn't Know theme song.
Oh, you didn't know?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Indeed. Oh, sorry, before we move on, Carl.
Okay.
Why do I know the name Evan Ginsberg? You got a film buff. Why do I know this name?
Are you getting confused with Evan Goldberg?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
Why don't you tell me, though, Carl. Tell me.
Isn't there, like, some figure, like Babe Ruth Ginsberg? Maybe it's that.
Yeah, Ruth Gator. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been drinking. No. I'm not going to try anything.
I love how I went Ruth Bader Ginsburg and just went Babe Ruth, baseball player, Ginsburg. It all makes sense. Some guy somewhere.
It's like just organizing your thought train. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll probably come back to me why I know that name. But anyway,
Until then. So let's kick off this week in wrestling by talking about WWE. We're going to kick off with the highlights this week. And shockingly, highlight for this week is Charlotte Flair. After, you know, several lackluster weeks of terrible matches, especially with Nia Jax, we got to see Charlotte take on Shayna Baszler. And this, for me, showcased what the pair of them can do. You know, I think Shayna Baszler could have been a fantastic talent. When she was brought over from NXT, you know, straight away she was at that weird little vampire thing where she bit Becky and then was just thrown with Nia Jax. And then she's just been... Yeah. Absolutely nothing ever since. And Charlotte, we know, in the right program, she can do really well. And I just think this match was so refreshing versus what we've seen between her and Nia over the last couple of weeks. So for me, it gets a highlight. I enjoyed it. I thought this showcased Charlotte as the champ she should be, as the level that she should be. And yeah, I'm here for
it. And I dare say, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, and not to digress away from this week's Raw, or the, you know, the Raw that's passed. I'm kind of happy with where they're going as well, feud wise, and I feel like that has actually got some potential and doesn't feel overdone. I know we've had it before, but I don't think it feels overdone. Just move into a program with Alexa, who is all right, slightly polarizing, and some people proper hate the gimmick, but most people fucking love it. So I'm actually super intrigued. I think this is a really good move because, I mean, look at the world of difference between the Nia Jax stuff and like this, and like you say, this week with Shayna and where she's headed. It's like, yeah, I think they found their feet with it now. I really do.
Yeah, we will talk about her and Alexa this week as well, but we will have some positive things to say next week too. So, but yeah, so that was the first highlight I wanted to talk about.
We'll discuss it when we get to the other shades, but like, it's not all gold. I just like the way they're going with it. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So my highlight, Carl, for you, sticking with Raw. You know, not to throw anyone off, but sticking with Raw, Big E. You know, and I even kind of like the way they executed this. I know you're a bit up and down on this, but ultimately, I think the cash in was effective, and I think it was probably, I dare say, the right time. It was surprising enough, you know. How'd you say surprising? I suppose the win was surprising enough because he openly said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Raw and I'm going to cash in." But I made up with this, and I'm calling it highlight because I really didn't want them to try and do something with Roman. I thought that was totally the wrong thing to do. And if you're going to do it, and I know you have your reservations about Big E and the Money in the Bank and all that kind of scene, and I agree with you for the most. I don't think he's actually at that level yet. I think he needed more time on the mid-card. But if you were going to execute it, do it, realign him with the New Day, and do it on Raw. And I think because of those elements and because this is the best way they can execute this, yeah, I'm definitely all for it. So it's a highlight for me.
Yeah. It's not a highlight for me, but through gritted teeth, I will agree with everything you said. It wouldn't have made sense for him to cash in on Roman. If he's going to cash in, it had to be Lashley. It's just unfortunate that we had, you know, uncharismatic, you know, terrible all-around champion Bobby Lashley against terrible gimmick laughs. That's pretty much all he does, you know, Big E. So, yeah, I was not a fan, let's be honest. But, yeah, I think you're right. If he would have cashed in on Roman there and won, I think we would have all been fuming a million times more. So, you know, I've made no bones about it. He's not ready. I don't like his gimmick. He's not a championship caliber gimmick with how he is today. But, you know, if he does realign with the New Day, that is when he's at his best. He then doesn't have to try and be this breakout star that he isn't. So at least that would make more sense. So
they're going to help him because he needs them as hype men. They're going to make him a bigger deal. They're going to help him when it comes to people like you and me who are like, what is this? Like, because they are really good at hyping him up. Especially, I'll give Xavier Woods his credit. I think he's probably the best one of them, of the three of them, in terms of on the mic and hyping up. He's always been really good at hyping up the New Day. Obviously, that's basically what he did initially. You know, they were essentially a tag team with him being the hype man. And I know he's good in the ring, but that was kind of the role he sort of fitted into. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it because I do think this is going to help him a great deal.
Yeah. It seems like, are they going to build, you know, I think Roman Reigns now has got three opponents in the pipeline. He's got Finn Balor. He's got what's his face? He's got Brock Lesnar at the Saudi show, and then he's going to have a match with Big E by all accounts at Survivor Series. So,
well, apparently we're getting. Obviously, I think it's actually been sort of known now, isn't it? The booking that we're getting the Bloodline versus the New Day, but like you say, there's just a ton of stuff going on for him there. The slight fuck up that I think a lot of people have pointed out is it's very unlikely that Finn's going to win, given that he's booked to defend the title at Crown Jewel, which is after the match.
Yeah.
To already put that on the card, kind of suggests he might not lose.
Yeah.
But hey-ho, WWE for you.
Hey-ho, indeed. But, yeah, and again, I will tell everybody right now, I think Big E is a wonderful human being and everything. I'm just not a fan of Howie.
This is the weird thing, though, because he so deserves it.
Yeah.
And you can be made up for him. But from a like a character standpoint and from like that side of it, I wouldn't really be a fan. Like, this is the best way they're doing it, so that's the right call. But like, it's confusing. Like,
he's got the look, he's got all the tools. It's just it's solely a gimmick thing. I don't get what he's putting out. Like, it would have been better for me if he went back to the old Big E Langston gimmick and it was just a monster heel. That would be fine. I just can't buy him.
And you know what, like,
right now,
cashing in and capitalizing and turning heel at that point could have worked.
Yeah.
So they could have done that as well.
But yeah.
They don't want to. The New Day, and Big E especially, like they generate a lot of fandom from the younger fans and a lot of merch. So they're not gonna, it's similar to John Cena in some ways. They're not gonna turn the New Day heel for a very long time. Yeah. At all.
Absolutely. All about the merch. So the next highlight for me, Anthony, I don't know how you felt about this. I've got a highlight from NXT, you know, shock horror.
Nice.
Bron Breakker. So when I first saw the guy, he was like, he looked like he was on something, about, you know, bouncing around, a bit off set. But yeah, fair play. He looks like an absolute star. So obviously the son of Rick Steiner. I think a lot of people have said he's...
Say that.
Oh yeah, of course. just some guy. He, Bron, Breaker of Chains. How did they come up with these names? But yeah, so, you know, he's the son of Rick, but at the same time, you know, you do get Scott Steiner vibes, don't you, from him? He looks a little bit more Scott.
Well, in terms of they'd lean so heavily into it if the relationship wasn't so soured between the two companies, between Steiner and McMahon, essentially.
See, the thing is, I saw an article on the Dirt Sheets that said that he was going to go by the name of Rex Steiner.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, right, okay, awesome. And then he's like, he debuts as Bron Breakker.
I'll be honest, like, that's probably the only negative I'd take from it. Like you say, I think that should be a highlight, rightly so. The name, I'm still a little bit like, it's a bit lame. But
yeah. I mean...
It's by no means the worst they've done.
I mean, Dolph Ziggler's come out okay, considering his name. So, you know, there is that. Yeah.
That was better than Mickey, or whatever the fuck he was.
Yeah.
I hope I got that one right. Which one was he?
He was Nikki.
Nikki, damn it.
Close enough. But, yeah, you know, I'm not a massive fan, necessarily, of the new rebranded NXT. I didn't hate it, not at all. But,
I'll be honest. Maybe because I was expecting a lot worse, but I'm digging it at the minute, you know.
Yeah, I think it had some real, like, bright spark. You know, don't get me wrong, but I think Bron was probably the brightest spark for me. It was just... the fact that they were like, okay, there's a new up-and-coming talent, let's showcase him, let's have him win, and let's...
And let's face it, he even dressed for NXT, didn't he?
Well, exactly. He is the fucking poster boy for NXT. Multicolour adventures. So highlight for me. Bron Breakker, well, welcome
you know what?
To
like,
WWE.
My last highlight for WWE this week is still in NXT, and it might surprise you. And this is probably more out of relief than anything. I think I made it very clear last week. My ideal choice for the winner of this Fatal 4-Way was, in fact, you know, the guy.
Pete Dunne.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, the guy.
The guy.
The Bruiserweight, Carl. I think he was ready for it. I think they should have pulled the trigger on it, and I still believe that. But let's face it, if it's not going to be him, and it wasn't, best option, Tommaso. Tommaso Ciampa is basically in the same position, isn't he, as Samoa Joe, in terms of he's enough status there for the credibility of being the champion for the company. So I get why they're doing it, and it's not necessarily a bad thing at all. Not my ideal choice, but considering one of those choices could have been LA Knight, I'm totally fine with it.
Okay, I like that. I had some issues with that, you know, with LA Knight just and everything that transpired, which I think explains maybe why he didn't win in kayfabe. But we'll come on to that.
I'll tell you what, do you want to jump into the O-Shites and mention that one or no?
Because of the graphics, I can't do that.
No, it's fine. We'll get to it. We'll get to that point.
Well, that's it.
So should we move to the O-Shites?
You know, and I know this isn't an episode of Whiskey and Wrestling where you know we go behind the scenes, but if you don't know by now, we used to spend that much time editing shit that we were even worse in terms of how behind we are than we are today. So the way we combated that is now we just...
Raw 3 weeks ago.
Well, exactly. So we pretty much just do it live now. So that's why we have to do it in order. Otherwise, I lose my shit because I put all the graphics in and then I'm like, I can't do that.
True.
Although it would make sense. It means we can't riff as much as we would like, but you know,
which actually is good because then they don't end up like 6 hours long just to talk about Raw.
That was another another thing we used to do.
We're still riffing now. We digressed like for like 10 minutes.
It's like 15 minutes into this week in wrestling. We've worked on the highlights of WWE. Right. So, oh shites. So I praised the Charlotte match with Shayna Baszler. What I wasn't a fan of is the post-match stuff. And I think, you know, as we mentioned, I do think it is somewhat refreshing, potentially, to have Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. Don't get me wrong. They've got far too much emphasis on this friggin' doll. And the fact that they've now given Charlotte her own version of this with Charlie, it's just pathetic, isn't it? It's just like...
And this is the problem. It's some stuff is shit and it doesn't work. I'm all for the feud and I hope it goes somewhere good, but
And like, obviously we are a bit behind, so the following Raw has already happened, and these two had a little bit of a segment in that, which I know is going to make my highlights next week because I've seen parts of it and I thought it was fucking brilliant. So, you know,
what worries me mainly about these two having a feud is the fact that, and it's something that people probably criticise quite a lot with Alexa, and it's not a criticism per se, but they are relying a bit too much on the in-ring sort of, like, spooky stuff happening, so the lights flickering, crazy things. Mm. Like, they can both wrestle, they can both go in the ring. I don't really need that distraction, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it worries me that they might lean a bit too much into that, but it's getting harder with a live crowd, which is good.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it is. But yeah, this for me was just an absolute merch vehicle. It was like, well, people are buying the Lily doll. What can we do? I know, we'll do one on Charlotte. Everyone will want to buy that. But yeah, we'll call it Charlie because, you know, can't even think of
everyone will want to buy that.
So yeah, I just thought it was shite, unfortunately, and it just didn't need to happen. To your point, so like, these two can build.
Charlotte's going to steal Alex's gimmick.
Yeah.
Which was already stolen. Anyway.
Exactly. So that was my first Oh Shite of the Week.
Well, my one, Carl, I will be brief on this because you know exactly why I'm moaning about it. Damian Priest versus Jeff Hardy. And I'll keep it as brief as I can, but don't think Jeff Hardy should be even getting a shot. And it's not, no disrespect, he's a legend. You know, he's at a caliber that he could fight Damian Priest. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, kayfabe, why is he getting a shot at the US title when he has he even won a match lately?
He won that. He won the one match against Karrion Kross.
Sorry, he did. And then immediately lost the following week. I feel like since they re-signed him, he's just been like a whipping boy. And he's had like such an awful run that you go, well, in what way has he like put himself in that picture? I really don't get it. So it's an oh-shite because it involved Jeff Hardy.
I agree. The next oh-shite to talk about, Doudrop versus Eva Marie. Why is this still going on? Why are we still getting this? It's not doing either of them any good. Like, okay, you've established Doudrop, you've brought her in, you know, you've given her that ridiculous name, she's going to own it, cool. Get her away from Eva Marie now, because what's it doing? It's not making Doudrop look any better, because she's beating Eva Marie, obviously. And they've invested that much in Eva Marie. It's not doing her any good, just getting her ass kicked. So it's like, well, why?
Yeah, it's just got no useful end at all for these people. WWE should see this as well. It's got absolutely no use. Like, there's no payoff that's going to benefit anyone. So,
yeah.
Like you said, you just need to draw a line under it and move on to other stuff.
I keep referring, you know, explicitly to Raw more than SmackDown, but I keep referring to it as a variety show because that's what they're turning it into. You've got fucking Reginald flippy shit every week. You know, you've got, you know, Alexa with her dolls.
Sounds just like a weird sort of, some sort of royal.
Reginald Flippy Shit, the third.
Reginald Flippy Shit. Welcome.
But yeah, you know, and this is, for whatever reason, another part of, you know, another variety act, but I can't fathom which section of the audience who watch the show is going, this is what I want to watch this week. I don't get it. Nobody wants to watch this. It makes no sense. It's no slight. You know, I'm not an Eva Marie fan. By any means, I don't know what they see in it and why they continue to push it to the moon
every time. I'll give you credit because I think you were probably the first one to be optimistic that she'd been putting the work in and she could surprise us. Yeah. And you weren't being like, oh, not here again. Like, it's since she's come back and been the exact same that it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I'll give you all the credit in the world for being optimistic about, like, she could have, like, put the work in and come back with a whole new sort of side.
She could have. She's done nothing, you know, to improve her in-ring work. She's done nothing to improve her charisma or, like, microphone capability. So why is she there? Because they like the look of her. Like, okay, fucking hell. Is this really what we're doing now? And I feel bad on Doudrop because she's a talented girl. And it's like, well, okay, this is what she's doing, and you know, fine, she's getting TV time. She's not going to turn her nose up at it, but she could be doing better stuff than this at this point. So, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. based on the fact she's called Doudrop, and when this angle does end, it's not looking promising for her either. So
I never understood, like, why do they even need to change her name?
No, I have no idea.
She was actually established in NXT UK with Piper Niven, so why would you change it?
No idea.
Anyway.
But yeah. Oh, shite.
My next one, Carl, and it touches on what we were talking about before. Why would LA Knight take a fight with Bron Breakker when he knows he's got a title match that same night? It's an oh shite because it's stupid. But it's actually a highlight because that means he definitely wasn't going to win. Or nowhere near winning, because I don't want him to be the champion.
Yeah. Right. It just felt so silly, didn't it? Like, if you had the opportunity that night to win the belt, you don't just go, oh, you know, come on then, I'll fight you as a warm-up match on the night. You know, it's just, I don't know.
It's exactly, oh, look, a big muscle bound there. It's like, what are you thinking? He's fucking huge next to you, man.
That's it. You know, you could get it if it was some, like, up-and-coming, like, rookie where you'd be like, okay, I could easily twat him. But
it was almost like the same story you do when, like, you had, like, Zach Gowen, and then he got the surprise roll up on someone, or like the other guy whose name escapes me. You know, when it's like they're quite a small guy and you don't expect the win and they get that sneaky roll up, and like, what? It was almost kind of like that, except he decided to like argue with a giant. Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't make him look very good, did it? Let's be honest. But
the other booking was stupid so far, so I really don't know what it was about.
Yeah, I feel like it was like a lack of roster depth or something. The fact they were like, well, we want to make him look good. LA Knight, you fancy doing double duty? Yes, and okay. So, yeah. Oh, shite. Speaking of shite on NXT, the Loomis and Hartwell wedding. It's a bit overdone now, isn't it? I remember way back when, there was a time when we had Randy Savage and we had Miss Elizabeth, and them having a wedding was new and different, and you knew about the characters, the storyline, all made sense. It was a wonderful, joyous occasion for everyone. Ever since then, 99% of any wrestling weddings have been a load of shite.
Whoa.
99%, because Eric Bischoff was awesome. And I know that's what you're going to say.
Yes, Billy and Chuck's wedding was the only other good wedding.
Exactly, which is why I said 99% and not
100%. Okay, I'll give you that, I'll give you that.
Because, yeah, you know, you're right, that was something
this
new
is so
and
overdone
and surprising, but
this is so overdone, it was a joke in The Simpsons in the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but they done, like, a thing where they were watching wrestling, and it was, like, Clavarella or someone was marrying the other guy, like, and it was literally that old trope of, like, oh, like, a wrestling wedding, and, like you say, it was just, if you've got jokes that have come from The Simpsons that long ago, It's an old trope and it's overdone.
It is. And I feel like the whole punchline for this as well, or like the whole big moment, was Dexter Lumis was going to speak and say his vows. And it was like, wow. Okay. And this was the main event of NXT 2.0, the relaunch, by the way. The main event. The title match.
It's more difficult for me to be like, oh, I'm digging the new NXT when you mention that, to be honest. Like,
the title match went on before this. This was the fucking main event of the show. So yeah, gets no shite for me. I feel so bad for Dexter Lumis. If you think back months and months ago when I first saw the guy, I was like, boom, he's got something. It's going to work out great for him. They have booked him terribly. The whole shit with him and, you know, the weird little funhouse thing with Cameron Grimes. And then,
you know what,
at least
the Cameron Grimes stuff was in keeping with the character.
It was, but it was over the top, wasn't it? Like,
I know, but like this the is point like was. Imagine a scenario where you take The Undertaker, who's had that sort of terrifying, silent sort of character as well, and you go, right, well, he's going to marry, who should I pick from back in the day? He's going to marry Lita, right? And they've done a whole segment on that. It just would have felt really fucking weird, wouldn't it?
It would have, except they did that with Kane and Lita, so...
Yeah, but Kane was never the same. He was never an Undertaker, let's be honest.
Well, you know...
Kane's awesome, right? But Kane without the mask, a little less so.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Lita without the mask.
I agree with what you're saying. I just thought it was hilarious the way it was like, imagine something mental like The Undertaker married Lita.
I'll be honest, that might be where the Lita thing might be why I chose Lita, because that was probably somewhere in the depths of my mind.
Probably. But yeah, so the fact this was the main event, the fact that it was just crap on it. It was just awful. It was like, wow. Yeah. You know, NXT.
I've seen some people who fucking love this, you know, like on social media. You see people who are like so about this, but. This is why it is almost like WWE are trying to cater to everyone, because like the whole wedding thing is just not our cup of tea, and some people fucking loved it. They want more of a soap opera. Okay.
Are we just old now? Like, is it that? Are we just, you know...
yeah, we're just two blokes yelling about things being different than they were.
The thing I don't understand is the demographic, the majority of people who watch NXT are 50+. Who's tuning in for this? Fucking Marjorie sat there going, oh, Dexter's going to marry Indy. Oh, have you seen this, Ruth? You know, like, what? Who's watching it? Not implying that all 50-year-olds sound like that. You know, but still.
I mean, I was actually trying, I'm like, is Marjorie and Ruth still a 50-year-old name? Or have we got that old that maybe the names aren't even that sort of, I don't know.
Who knows anymore?
Who knows?
Weird fact for you, by the way, and, you know, massive tensions. But, you know, while we're talking about names, did you know apparently the name Gary is going to become extinct in the UK in the next few years? What? Literally, no one has called the kid Gary in like 20 years.
Wow. That's crazy.
Who knew? So if you're a Gary and you're listening to this show, save Gary. So yeah, anyway, all that aside, yeah, this was a load of shit.
I'd agree with that. I'm stuck on the Gary thing now. Like, we need to do some sort of advert, I think, at the end of our show.
We'll just play that scene from Only Fools and Horses where it's just like, got it. And we'll just have that playing constantly.
That's such a British reference, I love it. Right. So, okay, Carl, next one, and I'm sure you're going to agree. Seth Rollins. And I don't often say this, Seth is fucking awesome on the mic, but apparently he has to finish Edge for his own sanity. Like, What's finished? Are we going to kill him? Are you going to kill him?
What is left to finish at this point? I don't understand.
Just going to turn up at the hospital and pull the plug? He literally was stretched out on an ambulance. Like, you should be arrogantly thinking that he's done.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting. He thinks he's done and Edge comes back, you know what I mean? What?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense, I think.
A little bit off as a promo goes, because that seems like the type of promo we should have hit before the match where he hospitalised him.
Well, exactly. You know, it makes no sense for him to come out and cut this promo after what he did to him the previous week. I took the piss out of the fact that every feud edges in at the minute. Like, they go, his neck, he's gone, he can't wrestle anymore. He comes back a few months later and he's fine again. And it's like, you know, is that the lazy way to write him off TV all the time? Like, I get it, he's a part-timer. Why do we have to do an injury angle every single time? And then but the thing that baffles me is Seth's now going, I need to fight him one more time. So what, are they going to bring him back again? Like, literally, what is he going to do?
You know, it is
going to Extreme Rules. It's going to be the I thing again.
No, I think this is going to be, like, bear with me, right? Because I think this would be fun. They go to Extreme Rules with a stipulation that it's a neckbreaker match. Never been done before. But you have to finish him with a neckbreaker.
I like that, actually, to be fair.
Hey.
Something different there. Something different. I'll give you that.
They could put it totally normal rules.
I mean, literally no matches so far. I've got a stipulation. What is going on with that? But yeah, I'm sure they'll cram it all in over the next week.
I feel like they've turned the interpretation away. Like, Extreme Rules, they mean like there's just fucking loads of them. Like, loads of rules.
Just loads of rules. You can't talk during matches.
It's extreme, you know?
Yeah.
Two referees. It's just going to be insane.
And lastly, I think the final shite for WWE this week. Oh my god, right? The women's tag match that got fucking cancelled due to time the previous week, right? Finally happens, yep. And it lasts 2 fucking minutes and ends in a count out. Are you shitting me?
Either that was never the plan, or that was always the plan and they couldn't spare 2 minutes last week.
Like, what the fuck? Seriously? Seriously, to all four of the women in that match, what a absolute fucking travesty for them. You got Toni Storm, who they panicked and went, fucking hell, bring her up, because, you know, we're not going to have like Becky in that for a bit, so we need some more women. Sound? So they brought her up and done fuck all with her ever since she's come up.
And then they Liv panic Morgan, again and go, bring Becky back.
Yeah, Liv Morgan has been a fucking absolute fucking legend on Raw and on SmackDown. They never use her. Whenever she does get a tiny bit of TV time, she fucking kills it every time, right? And that was the only saving grace this week, is the fact that after the match, she cut a promo that was fucking fantastic. And it was like, well, holy shit. Like, you know,
ever since her split from the Riot Squad and her whole new gimmick where she was like a lesbian for like 5 seconds, but ignoring all that stupid shit they did when she actually come back, I thought she's been really good on the mic since then, but they just don't follow through with anything.
No, absolutely baffling. Obviously, you know, Zelina Vega as well, they basically, you know, lured her back into a contract onto the fucking guys that Alistair was still going to be there. That was like, yep, sucks for you. Obviously, cut her from the match last week when it was fucking 9/11 memorial, and obviously paying a fucking tribute to a dad who died in the attack.
Special attire made and everything for the match, and they cut it.
Exactly, they cut it. And then you got fucking Carmella as well, who, you know, fair play to her, because I think she has tried her best to, you know, I say reinvent herself. It's going to sound silly because it wasn't really much of a reinvention, but
it made her out to be.
Yeah, she's tried her best to do with, you know, with what they've given her, you know, effectively, and all four of them, I think, deserve the time and deserve, you know, a lot more time. So
there's so much they could be doing with the women's division on SmackDown. Like, considering that features Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch, okay, two of those people aren't there at the minute, but considering it has such high talent and it has been used really well in the past, their women's division is shocking at the moment, like for the way it's being used, because there's still tons of talent there, but Raw's being done better.
Yeah,
it takes a lot for me to say that.
Yeah, and Raw isn't even being done well, so that adds even more to it. So,
I mean, what they should consider is bringing Charlotte over as like a special, you know, guest 1 week to be in a woman's match or something. Yeah.
As many shows as they can, really. I think that'll benefit everyone. I also, like, I haven't really called this out as a shite or anything like that, but as we're talking about the women, Naomi as well. She's now on SmackDown, and she's doing some weird little feud with Sonya Deville. Yeah, and now she's got like a weird little feud with Sonya Deville. She's been suspended or fined or something for saying that she wants a match. I don't really know.
It's awful. Rules. Honestly, like, that kind of bugs me as well. It's like, you draft someone over, don't use them like at all, and then they just turn up back on the show they were on. It's like, so how do you know the draft didn't work out? Why have you drafted them back? You did not do anything with them.
No. Mental. Fucking mental.
The draft just matters less and less now, doesn't it?
It does. Who cares? Literally, who cares at this point? So yeah, that was WWE this week, Anthony.
It was
my point of view. I'm going to give it a 1.5. I think SmackDown was massively underwhelming this week. Raw, not great. NXT was probably the bright spark this week, so fair play. They did
much
they
brighter. Did, it's much brighter now.
It was
the background's white. The logo's colourful. Everything's just bright. So
definitely brighter. Definitely a bright spark. So yeah, 1.5 from me. What are your thoughts?
I'm probably roughly in the same ballpark. I'm going to give it a 2. I think I'm going to be a little bit higher. I think I may have enjoyed some other elements more so than you did, particularly like the Big E cash-in and stuff. But I'm there roughly in the same ballpark. I'll probably give it a 2.
Okay. So moving over to AEW. Anthony, you've got the first highlights.
Moving on up to the AEW side. My first highlight, Carl, I'm going to mention Adam Cole's debut match. Feels weird saying that. going up against Frankie Kazarian, I feel like it was booked really well, and it was a really good match. For starters, I like the booking element of it, because whilst he's, you know, he's aligned with the guys, the clique, whatever they want to call themselves, he didn't want to... He said something about being like the super click or something in his promo after, so I was avoiding the elite. But I love the fact that they didn't just jump straight into like, well, let's go for like Jungle Boy, or let's go for... You know what I mean? I feel like it was a good way of like... There's a little bit of distance there, but there's also a little bit of story there, because he quite clearly mentioned, you know, there's some beef historically because of the whole Christopher Daniels situation. So, I don't know. It made sense. But it, I think it was a really good first match because it wasn't like directly like, well, let's get right into the mix with the Elite stuff. And then the promo we cut was effective and sort of established where they're going with it as well, which is pretty much where we expected. But I enjoyed the whole thing and they put on a fantastic match together.
Couldn't agree more. I think, you know, Kazarian hasn't been amazing as the Elite Killer or whatever he's called himself at the minute, but as a first match for Adam Cole, someone to take the loss, I think storyline-wise it made sense. It made Adam Cole look good, and Kazarian, you know, he can always put on a fantastic match with anybody he's in the ring with. So all in all, I agree. I thought it was a great match. It was a great debut for Cole. And yeah, it's set up a lot more in terms of what's going to happen now for the Elite or the Super Click Party, as you said. So so we will see.
Indeed.
Next highlight. I feel like we're going to be talking about a lot of promos this week, but
kind of promo heavy, to be fair, but not in necessarily a bad way.
It was unusual for AEW to be so promo heavy, but you know, most of them were on the money, and I think MJF's one was fantastic. This was classic MJF. I think, you know, it's interesting to move him into a feud with Brian Pillman Jr., and I think the way he has handled this, and like, you know, and fair play to Pillman. Obviously, we know his family and everything has been kind of under the microscope, whether it's Dark Side of the Ring, whether it's, you know, other, you know, people commenting on his life and his upbringing and so on and so forth. But MJF has just been fantastic in absolutely slaughtering him and slaughtering the fans. And it's just a return to form, I think, for MJF. He just absolutely nailed it with everything he said. He came over as a proper heel. He said all the right things. And yeah, I think I'm genuinely excited to see MJF versus Pillman Jr. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's done. It's done everything well, I think.
No, I couldn't agree more. So while we're sticking with promos, I think we've got to hand it to Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryanson. Yeah, Bryan Danielson. obviously, making their feud known. We've got a match the following week between the two of them, so they're getting right to the point. But fantastic promos again from the pair of them this week, especially Kenny Omega, to be honest, because I've always been a bit up and down on how he is. He's either kind of, he's a bit Marmite, isn't he? He's all made him. And right now I think he's doing a stellar job, and this promo just furthered it. So obviously there's a little bit of history there, stuff that's probably lost on me, but all in all I feel it's really good work between the two of them, and I'm hyped for the match.
Yeah, completely agree. You know, I am super hyped for this. Obviously it is Wednesday for us at the minute, so this is happening tonight for us. So I mean, I'll be able to see it until the morning, but still, yeah, proper hype for it. I think these guys, you just nailed it so well. I think, you know, to your point, Kenny Omega has, you know, we've been super, you know, high praise for him and then super critical for him the next week. You know, he's very up and down in what he does. He can be a fantastic heel, he can be a fantastic face, but he can also be piss poor as well at both. And I think this week he was really, really good. He made me want to see the match even more so. And I think, you know, Bryan Danielson being back, his first match, you know, it's not for the title, which makes you think he's going to get the win. Maybe we'll see Hangman Page come back at this point. Who knows? But yeah.
I mean, if I was a better man, I'd say he might get the win. They'll go to a rematch for the title. And Hangman Page will interrupt that and ruin it for Omega, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to imagine he's going to come back into the mix at some point, you know, I think, which
but
I want to see.
They're still going to pay that off, definitely.
Yeah, they need to, and I think they will.
For me, he's I know Daniel has not, sorry, Bryan Danielson has not come back with the same mentality as Punk. Like, that could all just be promo work, but he's like, he's not here to push younger talent. Okay, fair enough. But I think as far as the next person to hold the belt goes, I feel like it should be Hangman. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. So I think, like you say, he's got to come back in the mix and we've got to have that payoff.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think it's insane that they're giving this match away for free on an episode of Dynamite. This is something which people, you know, it's Danielson's first match back. Well, it's first match in AEW. And, you know, they're putting it out for free as part of Dynamite against the champion. It's ludicrous, which is why I'm so hyped for it, because this is the kind of match that you expect to be on pay-per-view. It's one that you are anticipating greatly and you can't wait to see it. So you've got to imagine the fact that it's non-title is going to give Danielson the win, because, you know, it's his first match. You know, as is tradition, you'll probably get the win. But I think Kenny and the Elite will probably end up trying to beat him down afterwards. And then, yeah, who knows? Maybe Hangman will turn up. Maybe. Mm. But, yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be epic. And then if it does go with Omega and Hangman gets the belt, there's no saying we can't then go back into a feud with these two that isn't for the belt and then, you know, go on to, you know, Bryan Danielson against the likes of Hangman or other people. So it's just super exciting right now to be an AEW fan. I think it's so many, you know, new talents coming in, so many matchups, which, you know, I can't wait to see. So, yeah, all in all, great promo and built the hype for me, I would say. Speaking of promos, even more promos right here. We are talking about Britt Baker and Ruby Riott. No, we're not. Ruby Soho. Damn it. Damn it, Anthony. Soho.
Soho, Carl. I mean, come on. Was the theme music not enough? I think they make it really clear what a new name is.
Well, clearly my destination was unknown on this still. I'll get used to it. You know, it's a lot to take in. There's that many debuts.
No, joking aside, it's a kind of a tough habit to break, isn't it? We've called her Ruby Riott for so long. I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, Ruby Soho. I think she stepped up in this promo. You know, call her Ruby promo, as far as I'm concerned. Because it was awesome. I think I've seen one or two people, and I forget the username, so apologies, but people have referenced, like, old school Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels level of promo. Like, they went in, you know what I mean? They proper went in on each other, but no,
I actually
in the best
felt a bit
way.
Bad on her, you know, because some people were, like, really giving a shit that she's, like, like she, because she referenced in part of the promo, when it's only such a small part of the promo, like, oh, she's just like, she's seen the people like Britt before, entitled, banging some dude in the back, etc. Mm. And so many people have gone in on her saying about that, because, like, Adam Cole's not even, he's only been there a week. Like, she was established before that. And it's like, yeah, also, she's, you know, trying to get under her skin, so she's going to say that, isn't she? Like, yeah. I think it's just so, like, I don't know, some people just want her to not like it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We live in an age where offense is, so yeah, either way, I thought the promo was fantastic from the pair of them. I thought the way Britt sold that comment was fantastic. She was just like, it's like so fucking funny. And yeah, you know, both of them just went in hard on each other. You know, Britt was there going like, you know, yeah, it's not like you left, you know, you were fired and all that kind of stuff, and it was just like, oh
yeah, because she referenced the vignettes and the promos before, and she's saying about being like, what was it, like,
the
I can't even remember what the words,
the runaway,
like a traveler,
she?
The runaway, and yeah. She's like, yeah, you didn't run away, you were fired. And like, but again, it's so cutting and so true, it just fucking works.
Yeah, and you know, I think the pair of them did a fantastic job, and again, it was so, like, they cut so deep on each other, but obviously in a way that, you know, I'm sure they all agreed and stuff beforehand. Like, you did think back to the likes of, you know, the Sunny Days comments and stuff between Brett and Sean. And, you know, yeah. That's the highest compliment I can give these two, because I thought that's so right. And it was so real and so, like, okay.
And do you know what? Like, it's almost a mark of their commitment to storytelling, because they've, like you say, they've obviously agreed, like, we can go in on each other here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they knew they were both going to go for each other, but they both thought, like, for the sake of the story, they're doing it. You know what I mean?
No,
and, I like that. It's commitment.
I agree. So, yeah, fantastic. I promos agree. All around.
Yay. Speaking of promo, my last one, Carl, and this is kind of like, again, it's not even match related, which probably says a lot, but it's actually the fact that the preemptive hype, I suppose, that Miro's next challenger looks to be Sammy Guevara. Mm. And I think, I don't know how you feel about this, because I know you've been a big Sammy guy from the off. I don't know if he necessarily needs to beat Miro here. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But I love the respect and the fact that it could be. And I think this could actually be a banger of a match between the two of them, to be honest.
I agree. You know, I don't think he needs to win. He doesn't need to win the title, but he should definitely be in the mix. I think, you know, whether Tony Khan says that the TNT title isn't as, you know, it's not a lower title than the main one, whatever. You know, the fact I've just called it the main one just goes to show that it clearly is
the other one.
But, you know, this is like the IC title scene for me. And, you know,
yeah,
let's make this title be that. you know, you look at the list of champions that they've had so far, they're all really high caliber, high profile guys. It's not
the thing. If they keep booking it this way, it's definitely going to have the same level of prestige, because we've mentioned so many times, time and time again, they've annihilated the IC title.
Oh, it's awful.
They don't treat it with any respect anymore. And I don't know, like they're doing this well, and it's a young title, it's a new title, but so far, like you say, the people who've held it and the way it's been treated with that respect, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. No, I think to your point, you know, he doesn't need to win this necessarily. I don't think, like, if he did, I wouldn't be offended, but at the same time, I don't think he needs to yet. But he absolutely should be in the mix for it. I am excited for it. It'll be a hell of a match. You've got the kind of big, strong brute versus the, you know, athletic, flippy shit dude. So it's going to be awesome, I think, if they do actually end up getting the ring together and stuff. So, yeah. You know, I want to say Rampage was great as a whole. I just didn't want to list, okay, all of Rampage. I don't think each of the matches needed to be called out specifically, but I didn't want to call out the whole show either. So I think, you know, nothing jumped out. It was like, this was the best thing ever, but it was all good, I think, in terms of Rampage. So, you know, even though we haven't called it out as a specific highlight, I do think Rampage again absolutely nailed it. So fair play.
Yeah. I really like it as a sort of more condensed show, and the way they're booking it. Yeah. I've enjoyed every Rampage so far.
Yep, same.
All three of them. So, I think that's it for highlights, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
It is, indeed.
So, the next one to talk about. The only Oh Shite this week.
I mean, I'll be honest, I've got fucking Sean Spears looking at me on the TV over here with this chairman gimmick that he's just not willing to let go of, and I feel like that might be one as well, but it's not. I'm going to leave it be.
At least it's not the Michael Jackson glove gimmick.
It still bugs me. It's like he comes out with a chair and does fuck all with it. What's the point in having that as your gimmick?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm going to switch this off because he's going to keep looking at me.
So the only Oshite we got this week, Anthony, I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well, is the whole Matt Hardy thing where he sees a guy in the crowd who's dressed in Orange Cassidy gear. Basically, he's got an Orange Cassidy t-shirt, denim jacket, denim jeans, and decides he's going to pull him into the ring and shave his head. And I just thought, what is this? Like, Matt Hardy is a super talented guy. You know, we've had the multiverse of Hardy. I fucking hate Big Money Matt. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I love the multi-personality thing they were doing.
Mm.
And then they settled on this Big Money Matt, which is just shit. And, like, this kind of makes no sense. Like, at what point is this, like, how far is he going to go? Are you not allowed to wear aviators to an AEW ring anymore?
That's what I mean. Like, I don't get it. Like this whole, you know, Hardy Family Office thing, even the people he's got in there doesn't, like, this don't make sense. Like, it's built of, like, loads of people. And it's just like, well, why are they aligning themselves with him? Like, because he's going to get them more money. It's like the savages like Butcher and the Blade really care about money. And it's like,
I mean, I could almost live with that in some senses because they came into it with MJF paying them to be attacking people, but they're not doing it the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It doesn't have the same feel to it where they were like crazy people that MJF had found and paid. It doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't have the same ring to it now.
Like, no, you're right there, to be fair. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, to be honest. I think you've called me on my bullshit. Maybe it's a bad example, but still, I don't like you know, the Hardy Family to Office honest, faction.
I know people will be like, it's suspension of disbelief, it's a story, etc., but I hate this sort of big money show-off kind of gimmick. Ted DiBiase is the only one who can do that, right? But, like, Tony Khan's paying his wages like he's paying everyone else's wages.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get that he's probably got, like, he's a legend and he's probably got money from his own ventures, but it's like, there's a billionaire backstage. Like, how can you be big money anything?
Yeah.
You know, like, I know people are going to be like, well, he's not an on-screen character and all this, and I get that, but at the same time, I don't know, it sits with me that I'm like, by whose standards is he big money, Matt?
Yeah.
I mean, all right, compared to me, yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, so for me, that got no shite, but that was AEW this week, Anthony. So for me, I'm going to give it a 3. I think, even though we haven't called out specific matches, I think the majority of matches this week, like, you know, we had the Lucha Brothers versus Butcher and the Blade, which was a fantastic match. It just...
Yeah. This thing, it was solid matches all around, really. Yeah. It was just that, like, the highlights just happened to be most of the promo work. It's it's no slight to the matches at all.
No. And I think, based on how the previous week was, you know, I was disappointed following All Out. You know, I made no bones about it. I was like, you've just had your biggest ever pay-per-view. You got so many people interested. And then you did that as your next TV show. I thought it was shite. This week was more of a... I wouldn't say it was a return to form, because it still wasn't the best, you know, by a long shot, but I thought it was decent all round once again. So for me, it gets a 3 out of 5.
And I noticed Cody didn't get a mention, which I'm happy with.
Yeah.
Because he was just there. It's all
he was
good.
Just there. Yeah, you know, Rosario Dawson, bring her in. Sounds. You do that. Get some more celebrity.
Even though she was a wrestling fan, that's awesome.
Yeah, apparently not, actually. Just the fact that she was on the show with Cody, that big... Go Big Show or whatever, and he was like, I know you.
Oh, right, so it's not like she's not actually a wrestling fan. She's just like,
oh god, no.
So here's some free tickets because you do the Go Big Show, so
basically, yeah. So yeah, 3 out of 5 for me. What are your thoughts?
I'd probably land on a 3 as well. I think that was fair.
Okay, I'll take it. So before we wrap things up, let's look at what else happened in the world of wrestling this week. So we had Victory Road Impact put on. Another good pay-per-view. We saw Matt Cardona getting revenge on Rohit Raju. Obviously struck Matt Cardona's real-life girlfriend, Chelsea Green. So Matt Cardona wasn't happy with that, and so he managed to get his revenge and beat the shit out of Rohit Raju. So fair play there. Christian Cage had his title defense against Ace Austin, who was the winner of that Battle Royal a couple of weeks ago.
I was actually expecting it to go the other way, but no, Christian's keeping the title, and so, yeah. AEW guy is still an Impact champion.
Yeah, interesting approach. So obviously Christian's still the champ, and then after the match, he was challenged to a match at Bound for Glory by the X Division champion Josh Alexander, who you may remember I said was a Kurt Angle imitation ripoff. So yeah, interesting.
And here he is feuding with Christian, just like here Kurt Angle he is. Would.
Exactly. Then over to the NWA. So another nice promo from Nick Aldis. You know, I mentioned his promo the previous week where he basically, obviously he's lost his belt now to Trevor Murdoch. So he came out, cut a nice promo alongside Trevor Murdoch. And it was kind of the theme about how much they both kind of sacrificed over the years. A lot of references to the late Harley Race and how much they've done for, you know, NWA and for them personally. And like ultimately culminated in like a big show of respect for each other, which I thought was really good, to be fair. It's nice to have...
I think it's nice, yeah. Go on, you were going to say.
Well, no, I was going to say it's nice to not just necessarily be like, oh, good guy versus bad guy and that kind of thing. It's just two guys, a lot of respect, super talented, and, you know, maybe they'll cross paths again in the future, but, you know, respecting each other.
That's the thing. You don't often get to see it go down like that, but I was going to say a very similar thing. It's occasionally nice to get that, where it's like you say, they've just shown each other respect. You know, the better man won on the night, and that was that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And lastly, in NWA as well, a bit of an interesting main event. So I think trying to capitalize on the popularity of these slap-offs, I don't know if you've seen them, you know, on like the TikTok.
I've seen
stuff.
A couple, yeah.
So they decided to do their own version of that, basically, so... yeah, Trevor Murdoch, who obviously is the champion, oversaw the bout versus Jack Stain and Crimson in a bit of a slap off, which ultimately ended up in a big schmoz and a lot of chaos to kind of close out the show. So not the greatest segment, I won't lie, but you know, different to say the least. We're talking about, but yeah. So that was what else happened in the world of wrestling this week, Anthony.
All in all, a good fun week.
All in all, a good week, yeah. I'll agree with that. Interesting stuff happening on WWE. Obviously, NXT 2.0 is here. SmackDown, underwhelming this week, unfortunately. Raw, average. Obviously, a lot of people loving the fact that Big E's the champion, so fair play. Well done to him. And AEW, bit of a bounce back, I think, after last week, which was following, obviously, the All Out pay-per-view, and... You know, it looks like it's going to be a hell of a week next week when we talk about the big Dynamite episode that is happening tonight. You know, Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson in the main event. So, yeah, exciting times for all of us. And so with that being said, we are off. We will see you guys next week.
That we will.
Hey guys, this is Rick Garrison, and you're listening to A to the K. A to the K. A to the K. A to the K.